joining us right now to talk a little Texas national politics. GOP strategist, co-founder of MustReadTexas.com, Matt Mikowiak. Matt, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Chad. Doing great. How about you?
Doing all right. Have you been enjoying the some of the March Madness games down in San Antonio?
It was great. Went down on Friday and again yesterday, so it was great being there.
Awesome. Rick Perry has been making quite a bit of news lately. Washington Post, they have an article out. They've had a few articles out about Rick Perry saying basically, and a lot of other folks said this, Rick Perry's on his way back up nationally.
Yeah, you know, it's a slow climb. He obviously did some damage to himself with the presidential campaign in 2012 and how that played out, and he's admitted that and I think been really quite self-deprecating about it. But, you know, listen, the American people love, you know, second chances. They love giving people second chances. They love to see a comeback. And I think the media is in that kind of in that mode, too, now. So Perry's really just over a long period of time reintroducing himself to the national audience. He's traveling the country. He's raising money for Republican parties. He's talking about the 10th Amendment, about having the states compete. And he's telling the story of Texas. And he's doing that pretty effectively. And he's done that in national media interviews. He's doing that. He did that at CPAC with a fiery speech that got a great response. And so he's sort of slowly building back. And at the end of the day, his record as governor, whether you like him or not, is strong. The Texas story is strong. And so I do think he has a chance to be a very competitive candidate in 2016, depending on what the field looks like.
Now, and I know 2016, it's a long ways away, but let's just say Rick Perry runs and Ted Cruz runs. How does Rick Perry match up with Ted Cruz, and again, another popular candidate out there? I don't know, you know, nationally that he's playing as high as Rick Perry is right now. Of course, that could all change. How does Rick Perry, I guess, run in this race against someone who a lot of Texans really like in Ted Cruz?
Well, a few things. First of all, I think Perry does have one advantage over Cruz, and that is that he's run for president before. Now, while that was an unsuccessful endeavor, you gained tremendous knowledge of the process, what to do, what not to do, how difficult it is. And so, you know, in a lot of cases, we've had candidates who've run for the second time who've been successful, like Mitt Romney, like McCain, and others. Bob Dole would be in that category, others on the Republican side. So I do think, to start, that is an advantage. You know, a lot of times reporters love to ask, you know, can we have two candidates from Texas? The answer is yes.
Yeah.
Texas is big enough. They financially support candidates enough. And actually, the Perry base and the Cruz base are really quite different. Cruz's base is much more small donors. It's much more grassroots-based. It's much more the Tea Party. Perry's really not focused quite as much on the Tea Party in the last couple of years. He's focused more on sort of the bigger issues, transportation, water, keeping the Texas economy strong, the energy issue. So, you know, I think he's begun to build his own national support base by supporting candidates in races in some of these states, by traveling to these states, by developing volunteers and supporters and activists. So he kind of already has his base. The question is, for me, is going to be, is Perry going to be able to raise the money as a former governor? He was clearly able to raise it in 2012 as governor. The question will be, can he raise it as a former governor in a very competitive field in 2016? I think that remains to be seen.
Do you think that impacts his decision as far as when he announces?
That's a good question. I think it, even more than when, I think it impacts his decision as to whether he runs or not. Ultimately, you know, to be a serious candidate for president, you're going to have to raise, you know, $20 or $30 million before Iowa, I would think. And he did that last time, and there will be three or four or five candidates probably who are able to do that next time. Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Scott Walker, Rubio if he runs, a couple others, Chris Christie if he runs probably. So the question is there enough money for all the other candidates if the three or four or five first-year candidates take most of the money? And so that's going to be the question is can Perry go back to his strongest supporters over the last 10 years and say, give me one more shot. We better camp this time. I have a chance. I'm going to run a good campaign. That's going to be the question about whether he can persuade his donors to do that. Now, if your question is, will he announce as governor, let's say, you know, in December of 2014 rather than waiting, I guess he could. But at that point, I mean, he'll be out of office in a month or something like that. And so I don't know that it'll have much impact.
Visiting with Matt Mikowiak, GOP strategist, also co-founder of MustReadTexas.com. Last week, I believe, what was it, on Friday, you had a little bit of a debate between David Dewhurst and Dan Patrick. They came out swinging, and from what a lot of reports were, it was basically, this is the first time Dewhurst has shown any fire since, I don't know, the race against Ted Cruz, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you know, now that you have a one-to-one comparison in a runoff, both campaigns have nowhere to go but to contrast themselves with the other. And Dan Patrick's been going after Dewhurst for 3 or 4 months, and I think he's doing it somewhat effectively. But yeah, you're right. I mean, Dewhurst has not really been responding, but now Dewhurst really does want to put the focus on Dan Patrick. He wants to raise issues and questions that have been at the core of the Dan Patrick story for a long time. Whether he's going to be able to do that effectively and sharply and in a way that either depresses Patrick's vote or converts Patrick voters to Dewhurst voters is the key question in this runoff. And ultimately, I don't know that I see that working. I think that Patrick has a strong enough and more motivated grassroots base of supporters. He's been more effective at winning over Tea Party and conservative activists and leaders than Dewhurst has been, although Dewhurst has done better than I think people expected in that area. I just think the path is very difficult for Dewhurst, and he's going to have to go very, very hard negative against Dan Patrick. And anytime you go hard negative, you hurt the person you're going negative at, but you also hurt yourself.
Yeah.
So it depends how you do it. You have to do it effectively.
Do you think, and just reading some of the raps about this debate that was held, I read that Dewhurst had called Dan Patrick a liar 2, maybe 3 times. If you look back, and that's something that Jerry Patterson and even Todd Staples, they were kind of angling at with Dan Patrick, is that he lied about their record. He lied about what they said. At least that those were the accusations. Could you see that as possibly where Dewhurst is going to start going against Dan Patrick and maybe try to get a Jerry Patterson or even Todd Staples? So I know Todd Staples said he's not endorsing anyone, but could you see Dewhurst maybe try to get those two involved?
I'm sure he's been furiously working to get both them involved directly, but also their top financial supporters involved and their top political supporters involved for the last few weeks. And you know, I think if he had good news in that area, he would have already announced it.
Yeah.
Because in any runoff, you want to get the top supporters and the top candidates who didn't make the runoff on your side. You want to do that as quickly as possible. But yes, I mean, I think part of this is going to be going out at the question of honesty on both sides. Anytime you're attacked, the person who's attacked says the other person's lying. I mean, that's an old trick in politics. And so the question then becomes credibility. Who's more credible? And I think Patrick communicates in a confident and clear way. He's a former radio show host. He understands how to communicate. Dewhurst, in some cases, does not communicate very effectively. And so, you know, when you're making a charge, you've got to do it with clarity and with confidence. So whether Dewhurst is able to do that in a debate is one thing. On paid media, when it comes to television ads and radio ads, those will be so highly produced that they will be done in a very clear way. And so that's where the question is going to be. It's not going to be about these little debates in Kerrville all over the place. Mm-hmm. It's going to be about the paid media. How much is Dewhurst willing to spend? And are his negative ads effective? Do they really cut into Dan Patrick in a way that hurts Patrick?
Visiting with Matt Mikowiak. Matt, what can folks find on MustReadTexas.com throughout the day?
Yeah, just starting to update the site for Monday. We updated it over the weekend, obviously. And have the news of that debate in Kerrville on there, a story in the San Antonio Express News and Houston Chronicle about Wendy Davis profiting from government bond legal work that she's done, and a lot of other good news up there from over the weekend. We'll be updating this morning as well. You can also sign up for our daily brief at MustReadTexas.com.
All right, Matt Mikowiak, thank you very much as always.
Thanks, Chad. Take care.
Have a good one. It's Matt Mikowiak. You can follow him on Twitter as well, at Matt Mikowiak.